All right, folks. Well, it has been about 2 weeks since we did our last weekly fishing report, which means that it's not exactly weekly. That makes it bi-weekly. It's supposed to be weekly.
It's free.
I know.
Like
still,
you said, it costs you $0 and 0 cents.
$0 and no cents. Well, because that's what we make sometimes.
Yeah.
No sense?
No sense.
Get it?
This is true.
It's a joke, Robert.
Yeah. You're good at that.
No, I'm not. Anyway, Captain Josh Olive here, the fish coach, sitting with Mr. Robert Lukowitz, the manager at Fish and Frank's, in Fish and Frank's world headquarters in the bustling metropolis of Port Charlotte, and we are putting together this week's local area fishing report. Are you ready to do this, Robert?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay.
Can't you hear the excitement?
No. I also can't hear your chair squeaking, so nobody will know you're rocking but me.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, feel free. Rock away. Now that you've hit that big 5-0, sitting in a rocking chair while you do the fishing report probably makes more sense.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, here we go. Starting with the Peace River area, which includes Harbor Heights Park, Liverpool, Lettuce Lake Boat Ramp, and other assorted localities near there. What do you got?
Nothing.
Okay.
Been pretty slow up there, unless you want to catch a gar.
And that's going to be how it is for a while.
Yeah. You're going to have moments of okay, but it takes a lot of rain to do that.
Yeah. Some days it might even be less than nothing up there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right. So let's go downriver towards the I-75 bridges.
I've gotten nothing there this past 2 weeks. Last report was a little snook over there about 2 weeks ago. And he only caught that because he was trolling through there while he was on his way out towards the harbor.
But now, even trolling through there, nothing's happening.
No.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Because yeah. We got other spots.
We do.
For example,
a lot more.
The 41 bridges in Power Pole Park area.
Oh, let's see. That's actually been not great, but not bad. They've been getting some small snook, especially in the evenings. A couple of even bigger snook. A couple of redfish have been caught there this week. Still some cobia hanging around, and a few different sharks. So it's not too terribly bad. Is it on fire? Nah. But is it good? Yeah.
When you say a few different sharks, I mean, obviously we've got some baby bulls up here, because we always do.
Baby bulls, a black tip, a couple of sharp nose, and one guy actually caught a bonnet head.
Okay.
So, kind of strange to see the sharp nose up this far. I know they do come up this way, but you just almost never hear of them up here.
No, you really don't.
Seems like the 20-foot hole is like that imaginary boundary line where you see them with regularity.
Right, they don't really want to come any further up the harbor than that.
No,
but
not really sure why.
Then sometimes they do.
Absolutely. Like, no.
Okay, how about the Lashley Pier?
Kind of the same thing going on there. It's almost a mirror image of the 41 bridge.
Well, I tell you what I'll do.
Evening time has been definitely the best.
I'm just going to take this and copy it.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Oh, I'll paste it. Oh.
There you go.
That was so easy.
Yeah. It's not a whole lot different. I think it's been just a hair slower there, but not by much. Guy got a 30-pound cobia off of there last week.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I've heard of several other ones. Haven't seen any pictures of those, but just hearing about them from other people.
So is that something that you'd expect or something you'd hope for?
That'd be something I'd hope for and wouldn't be too surprised if I did get one.
But you wouldn't be too surprised if you didn't?
Right.
I dig it. Okie dokie.
But it's at least a 50-50 without a doubt compared to other years where it's, yeah.
How about the Bayshore Piers?
Bayshore Piers, I've only heard of a couple of small bull sharks, a bonnethead shark, and plenty of catfish. Other than that, not much.
Plenty of catfish.
Yeah.
Just what we were hoping to hear.
Yeah. Hey, some people like those.
They do. Some people like to use them for tarpon bait.
Yep. Tarpon, shark,
cobia.
All those guys will eat them.
All right. How about the canals? The Port Charlotte canals, to be specific. To be more specific, the salt or brackish water canals. To be even more specific, East Spring Lake, Sunrise Waterway, and associated bodies.
Okay. You done?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Just checking.
Well, look, I don't have much to say about the fishing, because while you're talking about the fishing, I have to type. So I have to have something to say so people get to hear me also.
Oh.
So that's my part, is over-specifying the areas.
Oh, okay.
I'll stop.
A lot of little snook, especially at the mouths of the canals. Same way with juvenile tarpon, but there's also been a lot of juvenile tarpon in just random canals. Not one seems to be better than the other, other than the typical East Spring Lake that always seems to have quite a few. But I'm hearing them all the way up the Pelham Waterway, almost to the high school, which is quite a ways.
That is.
And then the been a few jacks. Sandbrim are starting to bite more, though, in those canals. That's one thing that's starting to turn on a little bit better. Even though most people don't really know how to fish for them, and they catch them by complete accident.
Most people don't know what that fish is.
Well, that's true, too. But I was explaining to a customer yesterday that they're probably going to be the closest fish you'll find to snook as far as edibility goes.
Not as far as fighting ability goes.
No. Gosh, no. You're basically fishing for a crappie. It's about what they fight like.
Yes, a lazy crappie.
Yeah. But nonetheless, if you catch a few, they're worth making a meal out of.
And you'll recognize these fish pretty quick because, first of all, they have an odd body shape. They're almost square. And secondly, the mouth. They have a long tube mouth that is really unlike any of our other native species, but is a little bit like a Mayan cichlid's mouth.
Right.
If you ever pull one of those open and take a look at it. But of course, Mayan cichlids are brightly colored. If you catch a fish that has that oddball shape and has just kind of a silvery, darkish coloration, nothing real special about it, but that mouth is just weird.
See, I've never looked at a Mayan cichlid's mouth close enough.
Yeah.
Don't know.
We should see if we can catch some off your dock.
I just put them on a hook and use them for bait.
You could do that, too. Not going to catch many sand bream that way.
No.
Okie dokie. How about the Eljabeen Pier and Boat Ramp?
A lot of juvenile tarpon down there right at first light. Been some much bigger snook at night. And there has been a couple of cobia and a couple of shark caught right off the seawall there on the Port Charlotte side of the bridge. I guess that water's so shallow on that other side that the cobia just don't seem to be as common on that side.
Right. Now, I think they're doing some dredging in the canal there that connects the ramp to the river. I believe so. And I think that dredging is going to last for a while. I think they've got a long project going on there. So if you're running a boat out through there, you may have some delays. You may have some issues.
Nice.
Hey, got to dredge.
Got to do what you can do.
All right. The Myakka River area, the cutoff, cattle dock, tippy.
A lot of little snook up in the cutoff, but they're starting to thin out quite a bit, especially on bigger ones. There has been a few incidental reds being caught inside there, but mostly out in front around the deeper water by Hog Island and throughout the whole center channel going out towards the harbor, cobia, shark, and Spanish mackerel. And quite a few Spanish mackerels. You get closer to like marker 7, marker 8 area. And they're decent size.
Now, what's decent?
15 to 18 inches on average.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad.
Mm-mm.
That's take-home size.
Yeah, and there's been quite a few fish in the 20-plus range, but the average seems to be that 15 to 18.
And for clarity, 20-plus inches, not 20-plus pounds.
Right.
That would not be a Spanish mackerel.
No, that would be a king mackerel at that point.
Which you're probably not going to see in the 14-foot hole.
No, slim chance.
How about the South Gulf Cove canals?
They've been getting a few bass, a couple juvenile tarpon, and a couple of snook. You know, it's been okay, but at least it's a first report in several weeks.
Now, with that mixed bag of freshwater, saltwater fish, what are you fishing with?
They were using shiners. The ones that gave me the report on that. What was that, Thursday when I spoke at the Inglewood Fishing Club?
Dig it.
So, not too bad of a report. I told them, please send me more reports for here. So, we're going to tell their neighbors to start letting them know what they're catching. Hopefully give us some more feedback on that area.
How about the west wall and the little creeks that come off it?
Handfuls of redfish. A speckling of snook.
A speckling.
Speckling.
I was so sure you were going to say a speckling of trout, which would have made way more sense.
Yep. There's just not a lot of them, but they're there. And then up on top of the bar and on the outside of the bar, cobia, and a couple of trout, and a couple of pompano, and a handful of sharks. So kind of a mixed bag. The little juvenile tarpon have not moved over there yet. But I think we'll start seeing them soon once this rain kind of settles in and gets to be just more consistent. Because that seems to be their general MO.
Now, just for clarity's sake, you use terminology sometime like a handful or a speckling or a sprinkling. What do those things mean and how do they relate to one another? When you say there's a handful being caught, does that mean that, you know, literally it's been just like as many as you could count on your hand that you've heard about? Or
yeah,
what does that mean?
Pretty much. It's not very many. Like a guy going out fishing along the west wall tells me he caught 4 to 6 fish snook-wise. That's just a handful. You know, and then I get another report from another guy fishing in the same area, and he says he hooked 3 or 4 and saw another 5 or 6. You know, that's not anything to, like, hey, go over there and hammer this because it's doing really, really good. But if you're just trying to learn it, figure things out, you're going to catch some fish. Just don't expect great numbers.
And a sprinkling would be less than that?
Probably about the same, just another way to word it.
And how about a speckling? Would that be?
Same thing.
Okay.
Just get bored of using the same word for the same description.
Trying to understand the terminology is all.
I get it. I don't have the $400 words that you've got, so I'll keep it simple.
Would you like to buy some?
No.
Okay. How about Cape Hayes?
I will forget it anyway.
We could tattoo them on your arm.
Great. That's what I want.
Cape Hayes in Muddy Bay.
That's actually been pretty good. Cape Hayes has. I haven't heard much about Muddy Bay, but Cape Hayes. There's been some snook right there on the corner before you turn in to go to Turtle Bay. Out there mostly on the flats, bonnet heads, a couple others, Atlantic sharpnose and blacknose. There's also been Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, and a few small trout. And one guy did hook about, I don't know, he went like this with his hands as far as a flounder goes. But we know how that measures up. So
right.
I'm going to say between a 12 and 20-inch flounder is what he hooked. But when he thought he was snagged up on like an oyster or something. So he just kind of slowly reeled it in. And when he realized it was a flounder, it let go. But it made him excited because it was his first flounder that he's ever hooked down here. And he's lived here for like 4 years.
Right. And that's exactly what it feels like when you hook that flounder.
Oh, yeah. They just mouth it and hold on to it. Just enough to make it crazier.
Yep. And that's what you'll find is, you know, you'll reel it up, and then all of a sudden it lets go, and poof, it's gone.
Oh, that oyster just fell off.
Yep.
No, it didn't.
Nope.
Just opened its mouth and swam away.
How about Turtle Bay, Gallagher's Cut, and Bull Bay?
Lots of assortment of sizes of redfish. I'm hearing of 15 inches all the way up to, like, 30 inches. I wouldn't say it was great numbers, but good numbers. And then quite a few small snook, a few bigger snook being seen, not really being caught. Ladyfish, a couple of sharks, been an occasional juvenile tarpon rolling around in there. And then that one guy caught a couple Spanish mackerel inside the middle of Turtle Bay. If I remember right, he got bit off a couple different times before he actually figured out what was going on. So, it's kind of a mixed bag of stuff out there.
Key Dookie. How about Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef?
Mostly the only thing I've been hearing about there is Spanish mackerel. There has been a few cobia, but they've all been shorts that I've heard of. But the Spanish mackerel have been all through that whole area there. Nobody's catching anything on the bottom there that I'm aware of. Or at least nothing they feel like sharing.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing worth mentioning.
Yeah.
I mean,
guess,
if you
I
catch
guess a 12-inch gag grouper doesn't constitute.
I was going to say 8, but
close enough.
Either way.
Yep.
Nobody wants to talk about their babies.
Never.
Gasparilla Sound in the tailing flats.
Oh, let's see. Out in the deeper water, you got Spanish mackerel, an assortment variety of sharks. There has been, on occasion, a couple of the moderate-sized tarpon coming through there. You know, the 60 to 80 pound range. Mm-hmm. Just not really fishable numbers, but definitely something you should be prepared for in case you see them crossing the bar there or along the ICW rolling a little bit.
Okay. What about up on the flats?
Snook. A little bit better redfish. And then drift in the flats, you're picking up some trout too. And of course, ladyfish. Some great numbers of the trout and the ladyfish. I think there's better numbers of trout than the ladyfish.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Not all of them are legal, though. I mean, most of them are undersized, like 12, 13-inch range.
Well, still, though, that's a good thing to hear.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So,
how about the puffer situation?
I haven't heard much about them. Last puffer fish report I got was actually down there in Pine Island Sound.
All right. What about the Placida area, the pier, the trestle, Coral Creek, Gasparilla Pass?
Mm-hmm. Spanish mackerel, some sharks, some tarpon, definitely more snook, all stacked up along that whole trestle area from Placida all the way over to the Boca Grande side. And then same with going out to the pass, there's an assortment of snook. Your big snook are definitely better at night. They're catching those from about an hour after sunset all the way through. Definitely a dark time thing for anything big.
Okay. Okay. Sounds like a good thing.
It's not too bad.
How about Lemon Bay? Do we have any reports from there?
Lemon Bay, I just actually talked at the Inglewood Fishing Club the other night, and I got one report. The guy's been catching some trout over there by the conservancy. He's got a few snook that he's also caught over there. And then he put in his kayak and went all the way across, fishing the backside of Stump Pass, basically, in that area. And got into a few snook, one redfish, handful of trout, saw a few sharks, but didn't hook any of them. And had another short cobia. So it's not too bad.
Okie dokie. And the Anger Pier next to the Tom Adams Bridge.
I've gotten nothing from there lately.
No reports.
Right.
Venice Jetties and Sharky's Pier.
Oh, that's pretty easy. Spanish mackerel by far is the number one pick. Been a couple of sharks of assorted sizes, from little guys to big guys.
But you cannot fish for from the pier.
Not from Sharky's, nope. You gotta go down to the jetties or kayak a bait out by the beach, right?
Yep.
Yeah. If I want to do that, I'm going to do that more Gasparilla area than I am up above. You know. And then there has been some snook out there along the surf in the early mornings until about noon. And then after that, not really sure where they're disappearing to, but people are seeing far fewer of them by that time of day.
And I'm sure the bite is best early.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, get out there as early as possible. Like,
yeah, so
an hour before sunrise.
That's what I was going to say. As early as possible.
Just wear bug spray, because the no-see-ums are terrifying and the mosquitoes aren't much better.
Just wear a mosquito suit.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
You'll look cute out there.
It's
kind of
like wearing a sweatsuit.
Except you'll sweat more.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Gulf of Mexico? Bottom fishing and trolling the reefs and wrecks.
Let's see. From the shoreline all the way out to about 15 miles, Spanish mackerel. And then from 3 to about 20 miles out, some small grunts, a few porgies, and a small snappers. But you hit that 25-plus mile mark, basically 90 feet of water. That's where it's at. They're getting the lanes, mangs, yellowtail, a couple of gag grouper, and some red grouper. And that's what, 6 days out before recreational can start fishing?
The 17th is when Red Snapper opens for recreational anglers. The 17th. Now, you said we're getting some gags. Any good sized ones?
A few that have been decent, and the majority of them have been small.
But there are some keepers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about pelagics? Have we heard anything on that?
Not yet. Been a few bonita out there, but just not a lot. But this is a time of year to be prepared for all of that, that's for sure.
So if you're going out red snapper fishing,
I'm going to troll some if I can. If the boat owner would allow it. He's not in too much of a hurry to go from point A to point B. I'd like to troll like a big spoon or some high-speed lure that I can try to potentially pick up at that depth once you get over that 120 foot of water. Super realistic to get a wahoo. 100 feet is doable, just not as common.
And you might have other things out there, too. Yeah. The sailfish, the mahi. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff that might be out there. And don't forget to watch for whale sharks.
Yeah. Your favorite animal, if you can ever see one.
Mm-hmm. They will elude me forever.
Probably.
Coming back into the passes, starting with Punta Rasa.
Some redfish and snook. That's been the main things that I'm hearing about down there.
Not so much with the tarpon?
Not so much. There's been a few right there in the ICW in that area, but not immediately in the pass. Which, I don't understand that. In the past, has got enough fish. Why wouldn't you think there'd be a few taking it easy and going down to one of those passes where they stand up?
A better chance of not being eaten by a shark?
Yeah.
I don't know. Ask a tarpon.
No. They don't talk back. They just flip you the tail and keep on going.
How about redfish pass?
Same thing, just mostly snook and a few redfish. But the snook have been an assortment of sizes there. I've been hearing of a lot in the low teen or high teens and small 20s, but I've heard of a couple fish in that 18 to 20 pound range.
Okay, how about Captiva Pass?
Kind of the same thing. I've heard of a few more tarpon there, but they were coming and going. They weren't hanging out. They're just passing through. Been an assortment of sharks through there. Black tips, black nose, sharp nose. None of the big bull sharks or anything like that I've heard of. But I know they show up in there, in and out of there once in a while. It's just big shark fishing.
Yep. How about Boca Grande Pass?
Let me think about that. Tarpon. Lots and lots of tarpon.
Are we at full capacity for tarpon here? I mean, is this...
After this moon, yeah. I mean, coming up on this moon, I think we're going to see quite a few more fish. Because there was fish last week that were kind of moving their way north, but they were going like north to like Anna Maria and turning around and coming right back. So I think we're going to see the epic amount of tarpon on this full moon. And then they will thin out immensely.
What is the date on that full moon?
I have no idea. Well, you'll find it faster than
I will. It's soon. I know that much.
Yeah. I think it's within the next 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, I think it's sooner than that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Very well could be.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Come on, moon phases. Man, this internet is slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the 14th.
So it's only 3 days away? Didn't look that darn full this morning when I was looking at it.
Well, that's how it gets you.
I know. Pops up quick.
Yep. So that's what we've got happening with tarpon. Anything else going on in Boca Grande Pass if you don't care about tarpon?
Spanish mackerel.
How about the sharks?
I haven't heard much about the sharks this week. I think they toned down just a little bit, but I think they'll come back in full force. They seem to do that. They go in little ebbs and you know, ups and downs in there. One day they're eating every fish in there, and the next 3 days, nothing.
Okay, anything else going on? Got some snook on the beach?
A few snook on the beach. Some of your better snook have been over on the Cayo Costa side, but they are getting some snook on the, you know, Gasparilla side. I just haven't been out there in a while.
Okey-dokey. Yes.
And plenty of catfish.
Plenty of catfish. I'm going to leave that off of the typed report.
Why not?
How about Matt Lachey Pass?
Matt Lachey, I've not gotten anything in the last 10 days, 2 weeks. A little quiet over there, I guess, but who knows?
Who knows? How about the south end of Pine Island Sound?
Quite a few tarpon, actually, for the guys that are dead baiting and live baiting, just sitting in one spot. And it's just funny because it's only, what, as a fish swims, what, maybe 12 miles, 15
from,
miles?
From where?
From, let's say, the north end of Pine Island.
Oh, yeah, if that. I mean, it, if we divide it right in half, then the south end and the north end literally touch each other, so it could be 0 miles.
Yeah, but let's say the north end, like Boquilla area to St. James City area.
If you really want to know, I could bring it up on Google Maps and find it.
No, I don't need to really know, but let's say it's 15 miles.
Okay.
It's not that far, but their fishing technique for tarpon is so different. You know, they're using the old school way. Even the newer, younger guys, they're fishing with catfish tails and dead thread fins on the bottom and sitting in one spot and waiting for those fish to come to them. Just kind of cool.
And they're only fishing semi-old school, though. They're still fishing with, you know, modern tackle. They're not using Dacron line and one-to-one reels.
Yeah.
So, and very few of them are probably using wire leader.
Oh, yeah.
So.
But it's still neat to see that they're still carrying that on because it does work. I'm just surprised that more people don't try it up here in the harbor.
Well, it doesn't work here, obviously.
Uh-huh.
It's
neither does a bait buster under a bobber.
Listen, dude. Listen, okay, I mean, it's one thing to talk about miles from Boquilla, but now you're talking about miles from the upper harbor. That's literally like 25 miles, 30 miles.
Not even the upper harbor. They don't do it right there around. I know it would work right there around north end of Cayo Costa, anywhere along that ICW, really, and I guarantee it would probably still work on the west wall and the east wall just on the outside.
Of course it would work. Of course it would.
Why would you try it?
I don't know why you'd even consider it.
Because I'd rather go out there and throw a net 20 times to try to catch a threadfin.
We don't do that here. That's not how it's done.
Uh-huh. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
People. The answer you're looking for is people. That's why we don't do it that way, because people.
Yeah.
So, anything else down here besides the tarpon?
Nope.
Okay, how about the north end of the sound?
A few of them, you know, but mostly what they're getting up there has been some Spanish mackerel, a few trout, a few snook, cabbage key down to basically the fish shacks. And it's just mostly about structure for the snook and the reds, but the Spanish and the sharks just fish the open water. You know, doesn't matter because it goes deep, shallow, so there's guys that are catching Spanish in 2 feet of water.
Right.
Yeah. There's just a lot of nice, healthy grass, lots of food down there for them.
Simple enough. How about Jug Creek Shoals and Boquilla?
You got nothing there except for a couple Spanish mackerels, all I've heard about. I don't even know if there's bait there. Got no specific report on that.
Isn't there always bait there?
Most of the time, but not always. There's times where they try for it and hope that it's there, but it's mostly small stuff.
What about burnt store and tupine?
Snook. Lots of little snook cruising along there. And then on the outside edge of the bar, some pompano, a couple of trout, and a few sharks. And if you're lucky enough to be there right at daylight, there has been a few tarpon showing up through that area. But they are not there for very long, and if they are, they're not really showing themselves. And even guys with the side scans are having a hard time figuring them out and dialing them in. Just got to get there early.
Okay, how about the East Side Keys, Cormorant Key, Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor?
The only thing I've been hearing about is the juvenile tarpon. Been a few snook over there, but juvenile tarpon kind of have been the more common fish. And then little sharks, a few cobia, and those have all been cruising on top of the bar, just outside edge of the bar.
Okay.
Never heard of any giant cobia, but a few legal ones, but nothing giant.
Yeah, but you never know.
No.
You might be the one to catch that 90-pounder.
That's cobia fishing.
How about Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink?
Got nothing.
Nothing, huh?
Got nothing.
Well, at least you made us wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get enough sleep last night?
No, not very well.
I can see it.
Before that, I slept. The last few nights before that, not much at all.
He's got a case of the yawns, and you can't see it, but his eyes are a little pinkish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on with that. Not like you have anything that would keep you awake.
No, not at all.
How about Ponce de Leon Park?
Ponce de Leon, they've been getting a couple of black drum, couple of small snapper. One guy got popped out there, believe it or not, from, I think it was the cops, for snapper undersized.
Excellent.
Because the customer came in and didn't say it was Game and Fish. He made it sound like it was like the Punta Gorda police. But that's a good thing.
Yeah. They need more of that.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you about that earlier.
Got to smack some people down.
Yeah. I mean, he saw the cops chatting with him and everything else, and it looked like he said they were writing him a ticket as they were going through his cooler and moving stuff out, which is fine and dandy with me.
Mm-hmm. How about the PGI canals?
Can't do it, let the regular cops do it.
PGI canals and Punta Gorda.
Lots of black drum and a whole lot of juvenile tarpon.
The black drum are the big ones?
Yeah, they're all the 30 to 60 pounders.
Ooh.
And usually when you see them schooled up on the surface, the chance of getting them to hit anything is pretty tough. But I'll still cast to them because a lot of times that what's below them, closer to the bottom, is the ones you don't see. Those ones tend to cooperate a little bit better.
So ignore the fish that are on the surface, fish crabs below them instead.
Correct.
Okay, easy enough. And you said something else that was in there. I didn't quite catch it because
baby tarpon.
I wasn't paying attention. Baby tarpon.
Baby tarpon.
Possible to catch them?
People have been hooking up into them. The fly fishermen have been doing the best, but Peg Leg did pretty good in there yesterday. A couple other guys have been doing fair on them.
Tiny Terrorize.
Catching them on some of the small white bait. They're going in there and dumping their whole live well out to get them to get fired up, which is about the only trick that works semi-consistently.
How about the Gilchrist Pier?
One cobia. That's in 2 weeks, one cobia that I've heard about.
Okay. One cobia. And if you didn't catch it, then somebody else did. So find another place to fish.
Exactly.
Alligator Creek Reef.
Spanish. Lots of Spanish. Been a few sharks. Been a couple of cobia. One of my acquaintances, he goes out there and dives a little bit this time of year. He saw some sheep's head, he saw some mangrove snapper, he saw one cobia that he almost speared, but it didn't quite get close enough to him, and he said it was a good one. He said it looked like it was probably about a 40-pounder, but he did pull up two anchors to add to his collection at the house.
There you go.
And once again, he told me if people would put their names on the anchor with their phone number, he would give them a call so they could actually come pick it up.
And if they don't?
He keeps them, and then if his boat ends up losing one or a buddy loses one, he says, come on over here and grab one. Because he's usually got at least a half a dozen laying around. Because he likes to dive the alligator reef this time of year, and then he also does a lot of spearfishing offshore.
Gotcha. Okay, how about the 20-foot holes?
20-foot holes, Spanish, lots of Spanish, even more Spanish. How about that? There's even Spanish out there.
I like it.
Been a few sharks, you know, black tips, bulls, sharp nose, black nose. And everyone keeps saying spinners, but they're just black tips.
Yeah.
And then they've also been getting a few cobia, too, out there. So, it's not bad. It's not great yet. Once a tarpon move in there more, then it becomes fun, because then you got Spanish mackerel that bites your bait off, a shark that bites your bait off, and then you catch a cobia as a bycatch while you're fishing for the tarpon that you don't catch.
Yep, and it's lots of fun when you get those perfect tarpon-sized threadies, but you only have six because that's all you could net, and then you get into the Spanish mackerel, and they come along and just bite all six of them off as fast as you can cast them out there.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then the last one, they just cut your line off.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's always exciting. Or a sail cat beats them to it.
Yeah. Now, it's funny because I'm looking here through the reports from the last several weeks, and we started seeing a very few Spanish mackerel out there on April 7th. And then the next week, there were some more Spanish mackerel. The next week, there's still some Spanish mackerel. The next week, there's still some Spanish mackerel. And then since beginning of May, it's been Spanish mackerel, Spanish mackerel, Spanish mackerel. So that's a good thing.
I think it's the rain that gets them fired up for a little bit, because it has that nutrient dump into the harbor.
Right.
That draws in all the little bait fish of assorted sizes and flavors. And I think they come in for that.
But it's good to see the reports.
It is.
Like that, you know? Especially when you have that kind of consistency. But, you know, the other thing, too, when you have that kind of consistency, people get complacent and say, oh, well, I don't really have time to go this week. That's fine. I'll go next week. It'll still be going on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not.
It might be completely over.
Right.
So things change out there. And that big full moon that's coming in is going to change a lot of things.
You know,
it's going to change what happens with the tarpon. But we're also, you know, right here at the head of our real rainy season. And that's going to change things, too. So there are many changes afoot.
Shrimp.
Don't get too excited and too attached to the things that we have right now, because they may not be that way by this time next week.
Not at all.
Now, we are at the point of the bait fish report, and as long as we're here, we might as well talk a little bit about the shrimp.
Okay.
Which technically isn't part of this, you know, place-by-place fishing report, but it's going to matter to you since...
Slightly.
There's going to be a change here.
And
now,
the way things are looking, it wouldn't surprise me if it happens by next weekend. If the full moon's in 3 days.
It is.
So that's what? That'd be Tuesday?
I would have to look and see when that is.
Saturday?
Yeah. 14th.
Sunday, so. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it happens by the weekend.
If what happens, Robert?
Pee-wee season.
Oh, no. But it's only June. That's not supposed to happen till August.
Uh-uh. No.
People misremember it in all sorts of funny ways.
Yeah, it's usually the full moon in June or the beginning of July, whenever it happens, the fall. But with the size of the shrimp and the lack of small shrimp that have been going on for the last week, I think it's getting ready to happen.
Yeah. So what we've got is
we've... I've only been doing this for a little bit, so I don't know.
Yeah, you don't really know. It could be anything.
Yeah.
We've got our big shrimp that are out there that are going to be heading out into the Gulf of Mexico. And when they do that, they don't turn right around and come right back in afterwards.
No. No, they don't.
They kind of stay out there.
They do.
So all you have left inside, where they can be caught by the trawlers who trawl for live shrimp in our inshore waters, is little dinky shrimps.
And they are the true definition of shrimp. You know, it's like right now, because they do the shrimp by, they call them the thousand count, but the way they weigh them is kind of how they figure it out. They count three bags of 500 and then figure out the average weight.
Okay.
So per 1,000 right now, they're running about 15 pounds.
That's pretty good.
When peewee season hits, they'll be running about 4 to 6 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll look, you can come in. I can order 3,000 shrimp. I might find 3 dozen borderline selects out of 3,000 shrimp. So anyone that is complaining right now that the shrimp are too big,
just wait.
You wait. Because you're going to have issues shortly.
But the good thing is, and we have to go through this every year with telling mm-hmm. people this, is that when you're out there and you're throwing small shrimp, yes, it's a pain. It's a pain to cast a little shrimp. It's a pain to get the hook through some of these little teeny tiny shrimp, but you're also matching the hatch. What's yes. out there is mostly these little shrimp. There ain't that many of them out there that are big. So when a snook's been eating nothing but little dinky shrimp, when it sees a shrimp, for the last 3 weeks, and all of a sudden a big one goes by, he doesn't say, oh, finally, a big shrimp. He says, what's up with that? I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Yeah.
I'm not eating that.
Not
There's something weird
want.
About that.
Exactly.
Haven't seen that. That ain't right.
Exactly. That's what they do. They'll just almost always ignore it.
Yeah. It would be like you ordering General Tso's chicken at McDonald's.
Yeah.
You ain't doing that. You're not going to trust that. That's not what we get. We're here for Big Macs.
Right. Quarter pounder. That's better.
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese. Exactly.
Hold that special sauce. But it's just not what they expect. It's not what they anticipate. And you might think, you know, I've found the perfect bait here, but you haven't. You need to stick with those little shrimps because that's what they're more interested in.
Definitely.
So, yes, it's a pain in the butt to fish with them, but you know what? They still catch fish.
They do very well. And if you can't cast them very far because you need that distance, just buy a water-fillable bobber. It works out great for getting some distance on a cast with something really lightweight.
It does. Or you can put them on a jig head, or if the shrimp are too small to put on the hook for a jig head, mm-hmm. then just put a split shot on your line right above the hook.
Right.
This ain't hard. There's lots of different ways that you can do this.
That would require thinking about it.
No, that would require asking about it and letting you do the thinking.
Oh, is that what it is?
Sometimes it's easier.
It is.
Because you've already done all the thinking for them.
Done all the hard work for them.
All they have to do is request the information and you will regurgitate on command.
Usually. Not on command, but you ask a question, I'll try to answer it.
Well, you know what I mean.
You demand it out of me, that's a little different ball.
You know what I mean. I'm not calling you a dancing monkey. Settle down.
I get it.
Now, can we get on with this bait fish report?
We should.
Okay, what do we got?
White bait and thread fins mixed together at most of the markers, marker 1 and marker 2 especially. Just got to be careful not to get blocked by the 3 Amigos or the, who are the swashbuckler guys?
The swashbuckler guys? The 3 Musketeers?
There you go, 3 Musketeers. Something. 3 Mouseketeers.
These are the captains who own that area?
Yes. Yes, they walk. They mark it regularly. But then there's been some bait mouths of the canals.
I used to have a dog that would mark all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I just started marking it ahead of time.
Yeah.
So the pre-marked spots, those were mine then. And he didn't mark them as often.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to do. People, I'm suggesting that you go pee on markers 1 and 2.
Yeah, I think you just shame them.
Well, you can do that too, but we've been trying and it doesn't seem to be working.
Well, we just need to go out there and put a couple signs on the markers and embarrass them.
Need to put up a mailbox?
Mm-hmm. Mailbox with their names on it. What would be even more fun is to put their captain's cards right on it, like a little tray, like here
right.
you go. That would be perfect. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Gotta admit, that is funny.
So we've got some white bait and threadies at markers 1 and 2. What else we got?
As you go down towards Devilfish, there's been some white bait down there. Been a few pinfish, but the pinfish have been really small, which is kind of normal this time of year. And then there's been some tarpon-sized threadies from Cape Hayes out towards Boca Grande and then just off the beaches around the channel markers outside the pass.
When we say tarpon size, we're talking about...
6-inch.
Okay.
At least 5 to 6-inch. Good size. And those aren't doing you much good right now, but in another week or so, that'll help. And we stopped out there 2 weeks ago, and this, I don't know if I told you this, but the bait, you know, was swimming on the surface just like threadies do.
Mm-hmm.
Three different schools, butterfish.
Yes, you did mention that.
Eating sabikis. I've never had that. I've always caught them right around the channel markers with sabikis, but never schooled up on, like, threadies. It was very strange.
Now, the bait that we're seeing out in the middle of the harbor, what are we seeing out there, and is it catchable?
Most of it's small. Most of it's real small. Some of it's white bait. Some of it's just flat out just glass minnows. Nothing really special.
So don't bother trying to net it?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't be giving it a shot.
It's perfect size for Spanish mackerel, though.
Well, it is, but it's really hard to get.
Spoons are the perfect size for Spanish mackerel.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Okay. Anything else worth commenting on in the baitfish arena?
No, not really.
Okay. What have we got going on for the freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, and lakes?
Bass fishing. Bass fishing is about all I've been hearing about, except for they have been catching some more Mayan cichlids in a lot of those little culverts areas where you got some little bit more moving water, I guess. Which, it's the first I've ever heard of that.
Okay.
But the bass has been the main thing, and it's all on shiners. A few guys have been buying some beetle spins and some worms and stuff like that, but all I've been hearing about in LC is bass on shiners. Don't know what that's about, but that's kind of seems to be the trend the last couple few weeks. And I haven't heard of any decent bass either. I think like a 5-pounder was the last big bass I heard about. Without going like to the middle of the state, like Avon Park.
And of course, this is the license-free weekend, so if you want to go freshwater fishing and you don't have a license, you can do that June 11th and 12th.
Nice.
And just for the record, all other rules do apply. It doesn't mean a rules-free freshwater weekend.
Really? I thought it was a free-for-all.
Yeah, just do whatever you want,
yeah.
Freshwater weekend. It's freshwater weekend purge, that's what it is.
Exactly.
Okay, and to wrap this thing up, we got to do the tarpon reports. I'm guessing
we already did that.
Mention Boca Grande Pass.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only place going right now. It's going to be that way for the next few days until that couple days after that full moon. I think the vast majority of your fish are all going to be right there.
And crabs are the hot bait.
Yes. Squirrel fish are working too, but you got to catch those also.
Okie dokie. I think that's it. Yeah, that's the end of it. Is there anything else that you'd like to discuss? Anything else that you feel requires mentioning? Anything else that you just have to get off your chest? Do you have a confession or an admission that you'd like to...
A confession?
Well, I'm just checking.
Father O'Brien? No.
You're here with your adoring...
You and I are neither one of those.
...listening audience, and, you know, if you'd like to...
Nope,
or if you wouldn't, then that's fine, too.
Thanks for listening to us babble. Thanks for supporting us and coming in here. Appreciate all of it. How's that?
I reckon that'll do. There's only one thing left to say.
Good night, Robert.